haven't been out since last fall. Yeah. So he takes me on a 12-mile hike with the biggest grizzly I've ever seen at the end. So we did not play the tourist and keep going. We stopped at a very safe half-mile distance, watched, and then went back to the car. Amen. So today we are just excited to have the Adult and Teen Challenge with us from Missoula. I say this every year. This is, no joke, my favorite service every year that we have people come in. I got a chance this morning to talk to each one of these beautiful ladies, and we have people from Boston, Massachusetts, to Puyallup, Washington, to Montana. I mean, they just cover. But there is, I got to tell you this, and I want you to catch this, because I was just thinking about this morning. Why do I enjoy this service so much? Because there's a freshness in each one of you. There's an excitement about Jesus, and there's a reason that I believe that's there. This morning, as I was just considering Teen Challenge, they live in a model of Acts chapter 2. They have community together constantly. They share meals together. They share the Word of God together. And I'll bet if you were to ask them, they just about have everything in common as they live together. And what happens when you live in community like that, because Acts chapter 2 is the genesis of the church. God never changed his mind about what it was supposed to look like, and they live in that model. And when you live in that model, I'll bet if you were to ask them after service, and you can, that there's a lot of rub. See, and they're already laughing. And so what happens when you live in community, and I know we've all said this, well, I don't want to go hang out with that group of people because when I get around them, I get grumpy. And what you're really saying is the real me comes out. And the things that I do a good job at hiding, when I'm off by myself, I can't hide when I get in community. And so I would say I love the program and I love how they run it, but God honors his word. And because they've chosen a model that mirrors Acts chapter 2, God's favor rests on it. And so as I talk to them, there's an excitement about God because of the way that they live in community. It's not because they're perfect. It's not because they've got it all together any more than any of the rest of us. But they live in that community, and there's a freshness and an excitement about Jesus. And every time they come, they remind me of what's missing in my life. Because we choose to do it so many times by ourselves, and we just get stale and dull, and we see each other, how you doing? I look at all, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm glad to be here. Like Jesus just coming out of. So I appreciate it. I love having you here. Welcome, Teen Challenge. Come and share Christ with us.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here today. I was here last year when we came. I was not the outreach coordinator yet, just stepping into that role. My name is Joe. I get to come out with the ladies and share the love of Christ. And so to start, we just want to introduce ourselves. And now we have an intro video to play you guys.
David Wilkerson. Harrison traveled to New York City to preach the gospel to teenage gangs. He quickly recognized that drug and alcohol addiction was consuming the lives of the youth. Adult and teen challenges.
And everything about them begins to change.
I just have an undeniable passion for God. He has brought me through so much, and it honestly could only come from Him.
Probably the best decision I've ever made coming to the program. The program really molded me into a man of God. Like, when I came in the program, I was a kid. I was 18 years old. And it was in the program that I learned how to become a man as a student. Teen Challenge has helped save me.
I just want to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for guiding the girls as they drove down this morning. For Pastor Brent and everyone here for loving us and inviting us into your family, Lord. Please take any anxiety away from anyone speaking today. And just guide our words, Lord. Empty us of us and fill us with your words, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'll start with an icebreaker. So I have a joke. This is a lesson to be learned from typing the wrong email address. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, if it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address, and without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. I know that you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to loved ones. I've just arrived, and I've been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is hot down here." I tell that joke to prepare you for this. One person in the United States died from drug addiction in the amount of time that it told me to tell that joke, and 8 by the end of this service. 22,800 was lost in the state of Montana to drug abuse, and 1.8 million by the end of the service, and worldwide, a staggering 1.5 million was spent on illegal drugs. $37 million by the end of this service. These numbers don't include the side effects of drug abuse like broken marriages, broken families, abused children, loss of public resources, and so on. The cost of addiction is high. But we are here today to talk about a God that is bigger than all of this. A God who, when called on, is willing to heal and restore everyone who has been hurt by drug abuse. The world says that once an addict, always an addict, but Teen Challenge stands on 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, in the light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before in Christ, you are a brand new person. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. I'd like to share a little bit about my story, but first I want to tell you, we were here almost a year ago today. And when we were here talking, we had just found out that we had lost a student in our program to an overdose. And so all of us here, we know how hard that it can be and that it is a matter of life and death. And so we're just thankful to be here, and our prayers go up to her family today. My story is I was addicted to heroin, and I lived in a tent for about 5 years over by the Seattle area. My addiction started when I was a little bit younger. I got sick and was in and out of the doctor's office with some prescriptions, and I took them a long time as they were prescribed to me. But of course, you know, you can only do that for so long before your body just becomes so dependent on them that they don't work as well as they once did, and so you start taking more. Eventually, I lost my prescriptions, and the man that I was with at the time told me he could make me feel better. So I said, "What you got?" And from that point forward, it took me about a year to lose everything. I lost my family, my home, my cars, living in a tent. I lost all moral code that I had. I broke the law in the morning till night. I stole about $1,000 of merchandise every day to pay for my $100 a day drug habit. And in that, the cops begin to know you. And so there wasn't anything that I could do that I could get away with anymore. And I was in and out of jail. The only time that I was sober was when I was in jail, and then I would get released and I would go right back to my addiction. And every time I would think, this is the end, I'm going to stay sober, but I would go back to that same tent and the same man who abused me and try to do better, and it's just impossible. After about a few years of running from the cops, I was sentenced to 3 years. And instead of committing myself on the date that I was supposed to turn myself in, I went across the state line and entered into the Doors of Teen Challenge. And they were totally unaware of me running from that. So I made it about 10 months into my program, and we were getting pulled over by a police officer and for speeding in the van. And I was terrified, right? I'd come so far, but my past was still chasing me down. And so I talked to my directors at the time, and they took me back across the state line and took me to the jail, and I turned myself in. And once you've been sentenced, God is the only one that can turn that around. And I ended up doing 60 days in jail for my 3-year sentence because they saw such a change in me that they wanted to know how. And I just got to go in there when COVID was there. There was no NA, there was no AA, there was no church. No one was getting through those doors because of COVID. And I had prayed and prayed and prayed. The first time I ever really connected with God was when I was in jail. And really, I just wanted out of my cell. But the lady who was talking hit my heart. And so I knew I wanted to be that for someone else. And so I had prayed to go back to jail and speak to the people there. I'd never meant to go back on the other side of the bars, but God has a pretty good sense of humor. So I really spent that 60 days talking about how anyone in there could be just like me, because I was the worst of the worst. And it was the best 60 days of my life. It's where I really found Jesus and love and hope. And it's not the worst place in the world. The worst place in the world was inside of me before I found him. And so I believe that God had purpose for my tears before I ever cried one. As it says in Genesis 50:20, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, become fully acquainted with this gift in you. There is nothing timid about it. The dynamic of one mind liberated in the spirit of love is fearless and unstoppable. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, these women would not be able to share with you today. And I have Jean coming up to tell her testimony.
Hi, my name is Jean. I am originally from the East Coast, and that is where I was born into a family that I thought was normal in my reality, and my grandmother groomed me, and my father trafficked me at the age of 5 to 11, and still thinking that that was normal, I was entertaining that and chasing that lifestyle as a teenager. And when I realized it wasn't, I turned to alcohol to numb that and turned to look for someone to save me from that. I found a family with a man who was my high school sweetheart, and they were normal and had money, so I thought that I had been saved. And for many years, I had the white picket fence, a beautiful business. I graduated nursing school. I had the career. I had the kids. I had it all. And at the top of that mountain, I never felt so lonely and so desperately wanting, worthless of everything and everyone in my life that cared about me. So after some losses, I turned to alcohol and drugs and prostitution. And I did that for 5 years. I met who is my husband now, and we were in addiction together for 2 years. We were called, his mother was ill and was not going to be released from the hospital unless someone came and stayed with her. So we were called out of our hell to come supposedly save her when really we came because she was saving us. She lived in the parsonage for the Assemblies of God in Rainier, Oregon. I was still in my addiction, and every time I woke up out of a blackout, I woke up sleeping in that church. They brought me to the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge. That's where I met my true Savior and the Lord of my life. And as I got poured into and was able to surrender all that I thought was truth for the truth and for my identity in Christ, I knew that that was my call. I completed 1 year in Idaho, Twin Falls Teen Challenge. I continued to intern, to pour into other women and meet them where they were at as I was met and poured into. And then I took on a staff position. 8 months into that staff position, I took my eyes off Jesus, and I was concerned with fixing everything around me, and I was not becoming the vessel that God created me to be. I took back control. I stepped out of God's will, and he used that to bring me here to Montana. So I get to do a time of restoration as a student again, and I have met women that have poured into me and reminded me who I am in Christ. And as it says in the Word, he will take the years the locust has taken and give them back, and he has done that for me. And I'm just very happy to be here to share. Thank you.
So good. That's the first time I've ever heard Jean's testimony, and so so amazing. It is amazing that the Lord has taken us from such dark places and brought us into the light. And a light that we can share with other people. And so I'm just proud to get to be able to walk this out with you. Reality is the world is more divided than we have ever imagined. Chaos abounds, lawlessness and violence are now a normal part of life. Anxiety is at levels never seen. What was once a lie is now the truth, and what was once the truth is now a lie. But the truth is, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe Christians from all over the world are now more united than ever. Rest and peace are still available without measure in a relationship with Jesus. We have the number one self-help book, better known as the Bible, to lead us all in truth. And the ladies have put together a skit for you today. It's called Reality Truth.
Reality is almost losing an arm from a blood infection due to IV drug use. Reality is watching my friend get shot 8 times due to suspicious activity. Reality is I was a lost soul. How do I know this is reality? Because this was mine.
Reality is thinking that you have raised yourself and have been alone most of your life. Reality is being molested at a young age, accepting that, and then locking it away in a box. Reality is becoming addicted before you're a teenager and suffering for many years. How do I know that's reality? Because that was my reality.
Reality is being pressured into having sex to keep a relationship going. Reality is, at the age of 22, drinking too much at the bar and forgetting your best friend got engaged. Reality is being laughed at for not being able to keep up, so you drink even more to build up your tolerance. Reality is totaling 2 cars in a short amount of time from drunk driving. Reality is pushing away all your friends and family thinking they've rejected you. And reality is filling the empty hole you felt in your heart with alcohol. How do I know that's reality? Because that was my reality.
But God, truth is, God made the impossible possible by having 9 surgeries, 4 blood transfusions, and a skin graft to save my arm. Truth is, I could have had died that night with my friend, but God redeemed me. Truth is, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not disaster, plans to give you a future and a hope."
But the truth is, God is with you, has always been with you, and will always be with you. Truth is, putting everything into the hands of God, who alone can save you. He can even raise the dead. Truth is, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that's the truth.
But the truth is, I am made new and I'm not unclean because of that. And no man should treat me like that. Truth is, I was forgiven before I even asked and have healed that friendship's hurts. Truth is, I've learned who true friends are and know my true worth and value. Truth is, I'm forgiven, the past doesn't define who I am, and I can use it to help others. Truth is, my friends and family were not against me. They were trying to help me, but I couldn't see it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:8, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And that's the truth. Now that you know the truth to our realities, we challenge you today as a church. What is the truth to yours? As it says in the book of truth, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Thank you. Thanks. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "Your salvation is not a reward for good behavior. It was a grace thing from start to finish. You had no hand in it. Even the gift to believe simply reflects his faith. If this could be accomplished through any action of yours, then there would be ground for boasting. We are engineered by his design. He molded and manufactured us in Christ. We are his workmanship, his poetry. We are fully fit to do good, equipped to attract evidence of his likeness in us in everything we do." Scarlett?
Happy Father's Day. Hi, my name is Scarlett, and a little over 20 years ago, my journey down a long path that I thought I'd never take. The first time I ever tried drugs, I was 13. I smoked some pot with some friends after school, and as we all know, the classic saying, weed's the gateway drug, and it is. It opened up the gates to sex, drinking, partying, and ultimately meth. By the time I was 17, I had dropped out of school. I was selling drugs. I'd been in and out of jail for minor things. I had escaped death more than once. From high-speed car wrecks to multiple gunshots at close point range to a boyfriend that was drastically psychotic who stabbed me in the face and beat me black and blue. Not to mention the time I was taken and forced into prostitution only to run away with the clothes on my back. After finding myself homeless in the streets of Tacoma, I fell sick from what I still think today was help from God. I ended up in the ICU of St. Joe's Hospital with doctors not knowing what was wrong with me. After spending a week in the hospital, my aunt came to see me and said, you can keep on doing what you're doing and die, or you can let me take you to your mom's in Montana. Without question and against doctor's orders, I checked myself out of the hospital and came to Montana. In 2008, I stepped onto Montana soil, and for 5 years, my motto was eat, drink, and be merry. Kicking all other drugs, besides weed and alcohol, I didn't think those were a problem. Long story short, and three DUIs later, I found myself at the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge the first time. After successfully being sober for 3 years, I was blindsided by breakups of boyfriends and family deaths I just couldn't pull myself out of. Spiraling out of control, I had an on-again, off-again relationship with my most toxic spouse, drugs. Landing myself back in jail, I of course found clarity and a Bible. Sometimes you have to be taken out of the devil's playground in order to hear the word of God. Psalm 18:4 through 6 says, "The ropes of death entangled me. The floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me, and death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from a sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." On July 26, 2022, my cries did reach his ears, opening the doors to Adult and Teen Challenge for the second time, leading me back to the Father and Teen Challenge today, where I eagerly stand telling you my testimony of how God is ever present and changing my life by the renewing of my mind. He's brought hope and restoration to one of the most important relationships in my life, my mom. Healing of oneself to close past wounds, as well as solid recovery from addiction. With every breakdown, there has been breakthrough, allowing me to come boldly to the throne and God to come boldly into my life, saving me every time, as most heroes do. And with that, I'm forever grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Scarlett. 1 Corinthians 1:25 through 31 says, "It seems so foolish that God should die mankind's death on the cross. It seems so weak of God to suffer such an insult, yet their wisest schemes and most powerful display of genius cannot even begin to comprehend or compete with God in his weakest moment on the cross. You might as well admit it, my friends. It was not your academic qualifications or your good looks or social connections that influenced God to represent you in Christ. It's almost as God deliberately handpicked the wacky of the world to embarrass the wise, the rejects to put to shame the noble, the ones with no pedigree of any prominence, the nobodies in society, attracted God's initiative to unveil his blueprint opinion in order to redefine mankind. Thus, he rendered any other social standard entirely irrelevant, redundant, and inappropriate. Every reason for someone's boasting in themselves dwindles into insignificance before God. Of God's doing, we are in Christ. He is both the genesis and genius of our wisdom, a wisdom that reveals how righteous, sanctified, and redeemed we already are in him. He is our claim to fame." We have one more video we're going to play. So that video was made a few years ago, and Faustino, Dirtbag Faustino, he works at the Willamette campus in Oregon. Adam has gone on, and he is the director of YWAM in Hawaii. And Stephanie has written several books, and she speaks to thousands of women all over the world. And their lives have changed. We wouldn't even recognize them from their darkest place to where the Lord has brought them today. The starfish story is something I want to share with you guys. It reminds me a little bit about the sponsorship program. As an old man walked the beach, he saw a boy picking up a starfish and flinging them into the sea. He asked the boy why. The boy answered, "The starfish would die if left stranded on the beach." Confused, the old man said, "But the beach goes on and on for miles, and there are thousands of starfish. You can't possibly make a difference." The boy looked at the starfish in his hand, tossed it into the ocean, and said, "Made a difference for that one." And as I said earlier in the program, addiction is all over. So many people are affected, and so few are receiving help. We as Teen Challenge don't ever discriminate. We don't turn anyone away for lack of funding. And that's where our sponsorship program comes in. It is $45 a month, and you get to connect with that student. You get to write letters back and forth and watch their progress. You'll get updates, and you get to come to their completion if you would like. You can take them out to lunch and really get to know them and pray for them, because so many of us come in and we have very little family support, if any, left, because in addiction, we burned a lot of bridges, and we lost a lot of trust from our families. And so as a sponsor, you just get to step into that void and pray for someone and really give them the hope that they can survive their addiction, because we know that it is survivable. And so we thank you today for coming out. We also have a cornhole tournament coming up in July 16th, and it is going to be an amazing event. We'll have about 40 cornhole boards, and if you are in Missoula and would like to join in that, or if you just want to donate or volunteer, please let us know. They're on our website. You can sign up. There is a code you can scan on there. And if you have any questions about that, please ask us at the desk back there. It's going to be lots of fun, and you just will get to hang out with all of us for the day. Thank you. Pastor Brent.
So we are going to, Jim and Braxton can do it. We're going to receive an offering for the Missoula Center. We're going to do that specifically today. We always do that. So I'm just going to give you a minute to prepare. But I do challenge you. If God has just touched your heart today and you go, man, I want to be a part of that, it is an amazing experience. And I got to say, we've sponsored for years and years a student. We always have a student. This last year, you know, it took a few years. Finally, I'm like, all right, when the things come, I need to write letters. And so it is neat to be part of somebody's journey. And it's also neat because as they come year after year, you'll see people on the videos that we've had here with us. And not that you got to make it on a video to make it, but it's just like, wow, you know, this is really a feet on the ground ministry in our area. We see people from our area, lives that are being changed. And so I would challenge you, if God grabbed your heart, stop at the table, sponsor somebody on an ongoing basis, and be a part of that. Because, again, you're having the opportunity to be a part of their life. And you never know. You just don't know how God uses the interactions that we have and just that opportunity for influence. And God using things that have happened in your lives to encourage somebody else. So We're going to pray for them today, and then we're going to receive an offering, and then they'll be back at the table in the back. They've got some stuff set up, so if nothing else, stop and say hi. Stop and say hi. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you, God, for each one of these ladies that are represented here before us today, and I know there's others back at the campus. God, you are doing a magnificent work. And it didn't just start when they showed up. God, you said that you wrote down every day of their life. God, you hold our pain. You hold our brokenness. And God, you have a plan of redemption. And your word says no one can take us out of your hands. God, we pray for these. God, we pray that you would encourage them as they go forward. We ask that you would open doors that only you can open. God, we ask that you would lead, that you would restore their soul, that you would lead them in paths of righteousness, that you would anoint their heads with oil, that you would cause their cups to overflow, that goodness and mercy, God, would follow them all the days of their life as they move towards living in your house forever. We thank you for them. We ask that you would protect and provide. God, we pray that each day as they look out, they would see you at work in places that they never expected. And God, would you cause your face to shine upon them? Would you give them your peace? We thank you for all of that. God, we pray that you would take the message that they have given us today and we would be challenged. God, that we would search our lives. God, that we would look for that same hope and excitement and enthusiasm in the midst of our enemies, and that we would find ourselves walking together, declaring your praises in a world that needs hope. We thank you for all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Jim and Braxton, they'll come through. I want to release you ladies to go ahead and go back there so nobody escapes. Like nobody's getting out before you get back there. As you see them coming out, reach out there and grab them. Don't let anybody get out unscathed. Would you just give them another thank you this morning? We do have, if you are a father, we do have a table in the back. We have some gift cards that we would like you to have just to say thank you for being a father, and we appreciate you, and you have great influence. You have great influence, and so we just want to treat you to something. So there's a lot of different stuff back there. Stop back there and see it. Whether you're from here or not. So, hey, have a great week. Be blessed.